Chase William D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, 12 o'clock hour live at Centennial Sportsplex for Predators training camp. But we say hello now to Jonathan Hutton of Outkick 360. He's presented by Blindbar with Davidoff Cigars. Blindbar with Davidoff Cigars is the go-to spot in Nashville for the best old-fashioned, a nice relaxing cigar, and lots of high-end spirits and wine. Hut, how you doing?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. Hope everyone's doing well.
We're trying to stay warm.
Absolutely.
Here at Centennial Sportsplex, but we're doing a good job so far. So we'll start with the Titans going to Indianapolis on Sunday. And I thought you asked the question last night to Eddie George on the Eddie George Show that I thought was one that we haven't got into enough yet. But this is the return to the scene of the crime for Derrick Henry, the first time, really, I think, being on turf since he got the injury last year in Indianapolis. And I thought Eddie's answer was perfect. It's football. It can happen at any time. You got to put it out of your mind. But how much do you think that's on the coaching staff's mind as they go into Indy this weekend?
I don't know about the coaching staff, but as a player, I mean, I would be thinking about it, playing on that turf. It's new field turf there at Lucas Oil Stadium, but that turf has been known for creating some injuries. We saw Sterling Shepard on Monday night in Jersey, for instance, on that turf, come up lame, tearing his ACL, non-contact injury, where he's throttling down on a route. I would be thinking about it if I'm Henry. And Mace, I don't know how much Henry has actually trained or practiced on turf since Halloween of last year when he was injured, because, he barely practices 11-on-11 during training camp on the grass outside, because most of the time he's down in the sand pit. I mean, that's been the regimen. I mean, he does practice with them some, but it's a rare occurrence. And I haven't witnessed a practice in the bubble in a long time. But if they're not using him outside that much, I don't know what they're doing inside. Maybe he's been practicing, and chances are he has inside some. But it couldn't be much unless it's on his own. If the Titans are in charge of the training regimen, I wouldn't have him on turf if I'm being cautious about keeping him healthy in the offseason. So I'm eager to see it, and I'm eager to see how the Titans perform coming off a game, Chase, where I thought they made a concerted effort to get Henry going in that first half.
Yeah, and you just used the key phrase there, in the first half. But and I feel like, you know, using him in the past game was good. You saw that some in the second half, but I guess this question could be for the offense as a whole, how they can take some of the things that they're doing in the first half and have that translate to the second half as well.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with Henry. I mean, we know that's the path to victory for them. Through 3 weeks, Henry has yet to receive more than 21 carries in any game. And the bulk of the carries, too, that in 2020, he had 82 carries through three games. Last year, he had 80 carries through three games. Right now he has 54. Some of that is due to the Bills jumping out and blowing out the Titans and just getting them completely out of whack. Some of that is out of their approach to this early season, which has surprised me a bit. I think we're going to see them give him more touches as we progress here, and they need him Sunday. The offense has really bogged down in second halves. They've scored 7 total points in the second half this season. That's the lowest number of any team right now in the league. Dallas is 2nd, and they put up some points on Monday night. So they've got to figure out something, and that's not just on Downing. That's from Mike Vrabel down. They've got to have a heartbeat and some sort of energy out of halftime, because they've lost any momentum they've tried to gain or put up, and that started in week 1 with the Giants.
Talking with Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. Now, Jonathan, would you like to see them use Dontrell Hilliard a little bit more? Because I think he's probably the one guy on the field, other than Kyle Phillips, who's shown he's a matchup problem when he's in a slot. But Dontrell Hilliard has shown that they can use him in multiple ways if they really identified him as one of their playmakers. They could put him in the backfield. They can line him up wide. He can do so many things, but it just seems like they're underutilizing him.
Well, he was a big part of their game plan, Mace, starting in week 1. And then the injury kept him out of week two. He's back last week, and they tried to get him some touches. I think they'll get back to that. They don't have many mismatched dudes in their passing game. He's one of them out of the backfield. And so far, so good from what I've seen from him. You know, the two receiving touchdowns out of the backfield that came from week one, and him matched up on a linebacker. They figured that out against the slower competition of the Giants linebackers in week one. I want to see them do that moving forward, and I think they're trying to. He was coming off that injury where he missed 1 week. I don't know how much that impacted him last week at all, but I fully expect that they'll continue to add the gas to what was a fire lit by Hilliard in week one. I thought he was one of the bright spots and has been of this offense, considering what we saw last year when he had his opportunity, signed off the street whenever Henry got hurt, referencing the Indy game from last year, and then flourishing, especially on third down. He's the McNichols of the offense this year, and he's more dynamic.
Now, are you starting to get any concerns with Austin Hooper? I know it's only been three games, going on four now, but is there any concern with how they have been using him or his ineffectiveness in games thus far, and that they have chosen to not use Chigakonkwo as much, especially this last game? I don't think I saw him in the game much.
I agree with you, man. The whole Hooper thing is dumbfounded me to some extent because, guys, I was certain that he was a number one option compared to what they had last year. I thought they had really upgraded on what they had it tied in. And so far it's been Jeff Swaim as part of the game plan and not Hooper, not Okonkwo. They've got to get Hooper going. He's had success, by the way, against the Colts defense throughout his career. And I think there are some matchup problems for Indy down the center of their defense this week where Tannehill should be able to have some success in the passing game. But their leading receiver right now in catches, it's tied for the lead, is Woods and Burks with eight catches through three games. They're not having much production. Part of that is the way they've bogged down in the second half, and part of that is their offense isn't conducive to the passing game right now. They've got to get the run game going in order to have some freedom with their offensive line with the shape that they're in to give Tannehill some time to deliver the football.
I'm talking to Jonathan Hutton. And, Hutt, I want to give you a shout-out. I was listening to you and Chad a lot after the game the other day. I didn't get a chance to see the game. I was at my son's fall baseball tournament, so I was relying on you guys and your expert analysis to tell me what happened in the game. Then I went back watched it for myself to sort of compare how you guys did it. But I thought that was good stuff. It was interesting to hear you guys get all of the feedback about Caleb Farley and what they're trying to do in the secondary right now. You know what's an interesting matchup to me is you look at the Colts. The Titans are using a lot of young defensive backs in some form or, as you guys were pointing out, going and grabbing a Terrence Mitchell or anybody they can find in the meantime to sort of plug that hole. The Colts receivers are kind of the same way, right? They have Michael Pittman.
Yeah.
And then they've got a couple of rookies they're trying to work in there. A couple of them made some big catches last week, and it was maybe the difference in them winning the game and losing the game against the Chiefs. So that's a matchup I'm really looking at.
I agree. And Terrence Mitchell has no business being out there last week, by the way. He signed on Wednesday.
That's a tough job to come in on.
Yeah, I'm not being critical of Mitchell. I'm being critical of the front office and the coaching staff. They've got Farley on the bench, and they have no there's no indication that they trust him or that they want to play him. That's on Farley first and foremost. But the fact that we're in week three, they were playing Caleb Farley, Willie, all of those snaps in the preseason, and by week three, they don't even want him on the field unless it's special team, means they don't see him progressing at the level. I mean, they literally played Terrence Mitchell off the street this week instead of their first-round pick last year. That to me, that's a glaring weakness and a hole where it's a swing and a miss early in his career. He can improve. I don't know of number one corners who are drafted in the first round who all of a sudden the light switch pops on in year two after they've been replaced by a veteran who no team wanted to start the season. It's bizarre. And, again, that's where they are. It's Michael Pittman or bust in the receiving core for me with Indy. And I think regardless of the pass rush options this week, I think the Titans can get some hits on Ryan. He's fumbled 7 times in 3 games, strip sacks.
Wow.
And he hasn't lost every fumble, but the Titans can get a hand on his arm and the football this week. That can change the flip field position and change the scoreboard quickly. They need that because there will be mismatches one-on-one on the outside that the Titans have no business defending Michael Pittman with right now. And it's not going to be Caleb Farley based on what we saw last week. It should be, but I'm not expecting it.
Yeah, I'm not either. Hutt, appreciate it as always. We will do this again next week and also join you and Chad Withrow this Sunday around 4 o'clock at the Margaritaville downtown, the Landshark Bar and Grill and Sportsbook on the second floor for NFL postgame after the Titans and Colts. Should be a good one, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, thank you. Really enjoyed number one. Thanks to the callers and Willie for the kind word. Mace, you got to come on the show postgame at some point, man. Join us.
Oh, I'm there. You know I will be.
We'll get him on. Don't worry. We will make that happen. Appreciate it, Hutt.
See you guys. Thank you.
Yep.
Jonathan Hutton, presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. They are a proud sponsor of him. You can visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, luxury redefined. Also, Edley's Barbecue as well. Coming up next, the captain, Roman Josi, going to join us live at Centennial Sportsplex, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We're live at Centennial Sportsplex for Predators training camp presented by Vanderbilt Health, and we have welcomed in the captain, Roman Josi, who is with us as they get ready for back-to-back games in Nashville. Kind of a weird scheduling change because of the hurricane against Tampa, but then they'll head to Europe, head to Switzerland, where Roman is from. How you doing?
Good, good, doing good.
We saw you at the golf tournament a few weeks ago for Brent Peterson. How'd that go? How'd you shoot?
Our team was minus 7, so not okay. Great.
Okay. Well,
that's yeah, I wasn't even not, close to.
Yeah. Was Joey
winning.
The guy?
No, I think Fabs was on the team. They shot minus 19 or something.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
They were good.
Goodness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I've heard Fabs is pretty good.
Fabs is good, but I think they had two that were like plus handicap, plus 2 or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that certainly helps. Yeah. So training camp underway. You guys got a couple of games under your belt with the doubleheader. How you feeling so far getting back out there?
Good. It's good. Good first couple of days. Like the first 3 days were pretty hard. Good intensity. And like it's nice to be back out. We had some scrimmages too. Just getting back to that intensity that you don't really get in the summer. So. And then obviously the games I didn't play, but I thought the guys played pretty well, so it was a good start to camp.
This training camp is going to be different because obviously you're leaving. You're going to Switzerland and then eventually Prague. So are there things that you're trying to, I guess, rush along to try and get shored up while you have a bigger roster here before you go, or is it still going to be kind of business as usual?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. I feel like we're leaving and 2 days to go to Switzerland, and I feel like camp just started, so it's definitely a little different, and it feels different. Less games. Normally, you got a lot more time, and obviously, there's a lot of hard decisions to make for the coaching staff, but a lot of competition, which is great for a team, though.
What is the addition of Ryan McDonough been like for the defense corps?
Yeah, it's been great. I didn't get a chance to practice him really. Yeah. I was always in a different group, but. Yeah, he's such an amazing player. He's done so much over his career, and amazing guy too. He's been a captain. He's obviously won 2 Stanley Cups. A great leader. So he's you can see it when he's in the room on the ice. He's got that presence, and he's a huge addition for us.
Now, Roman, as you stack up the years, and you've played excellent hockey. At the beginning of the year, is there anything year by year that you change up in preparing for the season?
Yeah, I do. I feel like every summer is a little bit different. There's always different challenges. I think recently, the older you get, the more you have to kind of watch what your body says too, right? Like, uh-huh. You got to get more rest. And the past couple summers, I think. I feel like there was a summer when I overtrained a little bit, and I it made me learn. Like, I learned a lot from that summer. I think you got to get away from hockey a little bit, but then once the new year starts, I think there's always I'm one of those guys who tries to do new things in the summer too. I feel like I switch up my workouts a lot. I try to do new things on the ice, and it just kind of, I feel like it keeps my mind fresh. And there's always new things I try to adjust over the years for sure.
Now, with being a captain, does that also extend to the off season and when you guys are not playing, just to stay in touch with the guys, making sure, you know, everybody's okay, everybody's doing what they need to do?
Yeah, a little bit, for sure. I mean, not so much that I'm, like, checking on guys if they're working out.
Absolutely.
Fabs. Hey, Fabs. What's wrong? What are you doing?
Hey, you doing your job?
Send me a working out.
Send me a picture. I want to see that you're in the gym.
I saw a picture of you at the bar. No, but, like, we definitely stay in touch. And, like, but then once, I feel like towards the end, I think once the season ends, everybody kind of gets away. Everybody goes home. You spend time with your family. And then once, like, August comes around, you kind of, most guys come back, like, you start skating here, and mostly the skates are run by, our coaches don't come out, so, like, we have a coach that runs it, Timmy, but, like, it's a lot of, like, player driven, so you want to make sure, like, you get some good skates in, and but that's about it. But we definitely stay in touch, and it's more like about having some fun in the summer, mm-hmm. too, hang out and, like, go golfing and stuff like that.
Did you go back to Switzerland this summer, or with the baby?
I stayed here. Yeah.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah.
So it'll be good for you going home.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know. I'm excited.
Roman Josi is with us. Roman, you guys worked on special teams today. And you guys, the first five on the power play, really strong year last year. A lot of great breakthroughs. So what's the wrinkles? Like, I know that the tape's going to be out, right? Everybody's going to look at the tendencies and how you guys had success. So how do you keep it there? How do you even get better?
It was a really good year for us. And but I think if there's one thing I learned, like, it's hard to compare years. And I think some years the puck bounces here, some years it doesn't. So I think what we can learn from last year, we did a good job on just focusing on the process and just focusing on what we have to do and not so much on results. And I think that's what we need to do this year too. I think there's things we can do better than last year, get more movement. I think that was one of the parts that we did really well. We had a lot more movement and guys were in different positions, and I think we can do that even better. And but just in general, I think the mindset of, you can't always compare to last year. I think we got to go in it. It's a new year, and we know what we have to do, and I think the rest will take care of itself.
We were looking at some of these young players like Cody Glass and Ellie Tolvin and this young kid, Yuso Parsonen, who's making a good impression. Who's standing out to you? Anybody in that group or any others that we haven't mentioned that's making a nice impression on you in camp?
Yeah, I mean, Parsonen has been playing really well. He's had a really good game. Obviously scored a goal, but just in general, he seems like a really smart player. And I know that they were really high on him before this year's camp. And he looks like a great player. And then the other guys, I know them pretty well by now.
Yeah.
They played here for a couple of years now. But obviously, I think they'll take another step and get an even bigger role this year. And I think we'll need it too.
Looking at what you guys are working on here today, you're looking ahead. That there's a lot of competition, I know, that to be in that group that goes to Switzerland in the final 27, and then you guys will work on some things there. But that's really the first step for some of these guys in the bubble, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of competition this year, I think, which is a really good thing. We have a lot of guys that can make the team, and a lot of competition, and it's such a short camp, so I think that's one of the reasons it's been so intense. And even the scrimmages we had, guys are playing with, like, a lot of intensity, because obviously you want to make a good impression. And it's good, it's great for competition, it's great for a team. And everybody wants to go to Europe, obviously.
We asked you before camp started about Nino Niederreiter and your relationship with him. Now that we've seen him here, it's got to be fun to being on his team, right? He's such a tough guy to play against.
Yeah.
You guys have had a lot of battles over the years, but we've even seen it in some of the scrimmages and in the preseason game the other day. He gets in front of the net, gets those tough areas, and makes things happen.
Yeah, he does. He's especially as a defenseman, he's really hard to play against. I mean, he's a big body, he's really strong on the puck, and like you said, you saw in the scrimmage, he's good in the corners, he goes to the net, he's got a great shot. So he'll be a great player for us.
All right, I was looking at the weather reports in Bern.
I need your advice.
Okay, in Bern, it looks like 40s, 50s, maybe a little rain going in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is that normal for this time of year? Brisk weather here, but nice fall weather?
Yeah, It's definitely colder than here.
So the winter coat, probably we don't need to make the trip there. Outside
no,
shot,
I don't
maybe,
think
probably
he,
not.
I don't think you need a winter coat.
Okay.
I think you need like this, like a sweatshirt.
Yeah. Layers,
like,
a couple
fine.
Layers.
Yeah, a couple layers, yeah. But I don't think you need a winter coat.
Okay, Willie, need to bring you a hat too, man.
Oh, definitely got to bring that.
You got to have that.
Now, what about like when we go to restaurants and stuff? Do I need to brush up on some simple like Swiss German? Do I need to like bring the phone to translate or – A lot of people speak English over there.
Yeah, most people speak English. Okay, but good. You would surprise some people if I
just threw a couple lines. Words, yeah. All right, so we'll work on that in the plan. Yeah.
How would he order a beer in Swiss German?
Huntis Bier, huh?
Okay, there you go.
There you go. Learn
write that down.
Can
I have a beer?
Just like that. Get that on tape. Get that on tape, Nick. I'm going to rehearse that.
I need to write this down, yeah. Too. Roman said I can come, so I just need to sit. You know, he's the captain.
Permission slip. We'll get him to sign
I tried
it.
To get on a Vegas trip with the Sounds, and that didn't go well, but this I think is going better.
And we got to show Roman Rick Sweet. He's the Nashville Sounds manager. We feel like, Roman, he
was talking about line changes earlier. So
he was talking about line changes. But so he knows a little bit of hockey. He also has a good stash from the 70s. That's right there with Phil, right? Yeah. That's pretty good. We got to show this to Phil, too. And he had some great stories about
that's
the
Phil
mustache.
In a couple of years.
Late 70s right there. Pretty
that's
good.
Awesome.
Well, Roman, best of luck the next 2 days and then headed to Switzerland. I know that how exciting that is for you to be able to go home and help lead this team and then in Prague as well. But appreciate your time as always. And,
thank you.
We'll see you when you get back.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. Roman Josi, Predators captain, joining us live at training camp. We'll come back with more. 1025, 1063, the game. Chase Willie and D. Mace, 1025, 1063, the game, live at Predators training camp, presented by Vanderbilt Health at Centennial Sportsplex. Appreciate Roman Josi for stopping by. I'll probably catch up with somebody else here later on. As the talk is what everybody needs to bring to go on the trip.
Yeah.
To Switzerland. Because you're going to be gone two weeks?
No, it's not that far. It's really not that long. It's only about 8 days.
Are you going to recycle your clothes,
Willie?
So you'll
have road trips.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Are you going to bring just enough?
We go on road trips during the regular season that are longer than this one. So I have my system of if you could – I try to bring just enough to where if I couldn't do any laundry, I'd be all right. I wouldn't run out of socks and
you
got to
bring extra socks and extra underwear.
You got to have just enough, and you got to make sure you ration if you go for a jog or something. Those are shot for the rest of the trip. You know,
those socks are done.
Yeah, they're done. So, I think this one will be fairly straightforward because you know we go on week 8 day road trips to.
Sure.
California or Western Canada. So from a length standpoint, it's not that big. It's the question is, you know, the culture. Just diving in there. You know, stuff like ordering food and stuff like that. I've never been to a country outside of here that is, you know, doesn't speak English. So I'm curious how many people
said
speak
they
it.
Speak
yeah,
a
that's
lot
good.
Of English
I
there.
Figured that was probably the case in Bern. Prague, I don't know. Like we'll see. We'll
yeah,
see,
that's the thing. You got to prepare for two different
on your,
places.
Yeah, polish up on your other languages, man.
Come on. Work on the check. That's
always
not easy.
Use that telephone. It works, man.
Does it?
See,
I've never done
listen,
that.
You didn't ask Roman about MLB.TV. You forgot to ask
that's
him about
right. That was on my list. Okay, I'll have to catch up. I got a couple of days before.
You do. So let me ask you guys this as we transition back into the Titans. And, you know, we talked yesterday that you and I have kind of used the term must win. Coach Willie does not want to go that
way.
And look, it's an enormous game. It's an enormous game.
Must win that early.
Must win, no. But enormous game, absolutely.
Are the Titans a good football team right now through three games?
No.
No.
Are they a horrible football team? No. They are okay. They have too many not enough playmakers and – the roster's thin really now because of the injuries. And they just don't – they're well – the good thing is – when I say that, but the good thing is they're well coached.
Right.
They have an okay team, but because of the coaching, he can get okay players to play a little bit better than – what they would probably normally play. So is this a really good roster? No. This is an okay roster and that can't afford any more injuries.
Which they're probably going to get more injuries. That's football. So I agree. They're not a good football team right now. They're okay. But can they do kind of like they did a few years ago when they made that run to the AFC Championship game and get better as the season goes on? With, you know, a defense that is better. I think this defense is better than that defense, mm-hmm. but it's not as good as last year's defense. Obviously, they have some key injuries that have slowed that down. Derrick Henry's a few years older. Tannehill has regressed in some ways, and the receiving core isn't as strong. So do you think, though, as the season goes on, that this team can get better? And then we can say, oh, you know what? They are a good football team.
I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, they can't, because I've experienced it. I played, you know, for 15 years. So I know we may have had a roster that didn't look as good, but as the season went on, we started to get more confident in one another. We started to trust one another even more. And everything was simplified to the roster that we had at that particular moment. Like, offensively, what we were doing, defensively, as special teams. We didn't try to do anything outside of who we were as a team. So I'm not going to sit here, Chase or Willie, and say this team can't get better. But I don't – because of the lack of depth, I don't think they can get better to a point where they're making noise in the playoffs. They may make the playoffs because of their division, but I don't think they're good enough or they will become that good to beat a Buffalo team in the playoffs, a Kansas City team in the playoffs. Heck, if Jacksonville makes it to the playoffs and just so happen you get two, I don't know if they're good enough to beat those teams.
I was listening to a Colts podcast, and it's interesting to hear their perspective. That's one thing they discussed is, hey, Jacksonville, of course, they saw it straight up because Jacksonville shut them out. I mean, they dominated the Colts. So that's one thing they're asking. Hey, this whole AFC South thing, I know it's Titans-Colts, but the Jags are in this discussion now. The other outside view that they had of the Titans was the Titans still look important, but they are not as good. Like, remember the whole good to great thing?
Yeah.
When Vrabel got there? Now it's like, hey, are they still good? Mm-hmm. Like, I think we're all kind of around to, I don't think this team looks great, but are they still good enough to win the division? And one of the things they first hit on was not having A.J. Brown. They don't look as formidable on offense without him. And so maybe this is a game where, you know, Treylon Burks makes a big impression, shows the Colts that, you know, he can be a weapon. That would be huge for this team. They also are noticing that Derrick Henry is not putting up the same kind of numbers. They're aware of the Titans' offensive line issues. Here's what they're talking about the Colts. They are very concerned about the offensive line of the Colts being, they're the highest paid offense. They still have more invested in that unit than anybody else in the NFL in terms of their offensive line. And their quarterback is getting harassed, right? Matt Ryan has been sacked 12 times. He's fumbled a bunch. They've got four interceptions. They've got a very young receiving core. That's a big issue right now. It's pass protection, right? They know they can run it with Jonathan Taylor, but I think that's a very big thing. Can the Titans, without Harold Landry, we don't know about Bud Dupree, can they get the kind of heat that other teams have gotten on Matt Ryan? That's a huge part of this game.
Yeah, well, and listen to this. Caleb Farley speaking to the media in the locker room on the Titans playing Terrence Mitchell versus the Raiders. That's the decision that was made. I stick behind it. That was his quote.
Not much he can say.
What else can you say?
No, you can't say anything else. But, I mean, look, that's a part of the problem with all of this, of saying, are they good or are they not good? Because you got a first-round pick that you're not playing.
Yeah.
And it's because he's not good right now. I mean, that's why you're not playing.
And what do you do when that happens? It's like when a guy gets sent to Milwaukee from the Predators, right? What do you do? Carl Taylor, the coach of Milwaukee, is really good about taking that guy who's ticked off. He wants to be playing for the big team. But he says, all right, what are you going to do? Are you going to sulk? Or are you going to work on your weaknesses, get better, and get back in there, right? So Caleb Farley's in that position now. He's been working real hard to get in there. He's lost the job. So how does he handle that? Like, every day is a new day. Mm-hmm. It's not over. He's still a young player. So how do you react to this? I think this is an important part of the equation here. And who are those coaches internally for the Titans that are taking him aside? It's, okay, Caleb, you're not there right now. But, hey, we got practice today. Let's work on stuff. You know, we got to get you there. Mm-hmm. How he handles it is very important.
It is, but in my experience, sometimes you can work as hard as you possibly can. And I've seen guys do it, and I commend guys for doing it. But if you just can't – if you have the talent to play that position, you just don't have the talent. If you don't have – if you're not good enough to be a starter or to make a roster, you're just not good enough to be a starter or make a roster, no matter how hard you work. It's great that you're working hard and you incrementally get better, but it's not enough to make a roster or crack that starting lineup. To me, and I'm going to keep on saying it until I see otherwise, and people can, you know, make an excuse for him or any whatever you want to do, but I've seen it. I've been a part of it. He's not, at this juncture, he's not a cornerback in the NFL. He's just not. And what tells me, other than the things that I have seen, is when your head coach decides that he want to put another guy in that's only been there 3 days and play him more minutes, and then when that guy's getting beat like a drum, he still chooses not to put you in. You know, if you hadn't learned what we're doing now, you're not going to learn. He's been here almost 2 years, and he hasn't picked up on the concepts and what they're doing as a defense. He can't play on a Mike Vrabel coach team. He just can't, and it's showing.
And that absolutely could be true. I think that's the struggle, right, is how long do you have that struggle before you just move on and go on to the next game? We talked about that with Raidens, right?
Yeah.
When you're a first-round
pick. And I said the same thing about Raidens.
Yeah.
He's not good enough to make this team, but because of the lack of depth, he made it.
And that's what's interesting about it is when you're a first- and second-round pick, you get more chances to hang around and try to get the light to go on, right? They'll keep working on the like, let's get these wires caught, let's get these wires and move. Maybe the light will go on. But the other part of it in the meantime is if a guy gets hurt, like the key moment in the game the other day, he's got to go in there.
And that's why they can't get rid of him.
Yeah. So that the same thing could happen on Sunday.
So up next, I'll ask it this way. What are some things that we need to see this weekend to make us feel like things are trending in the right direction? Win or lose, what are some things we're looking for? We'll do that coming up next. Tune in for the NFL pregame this Sunday, live from Twin Peaks at 6134 Galleria Boulevard in Cool Springs. It's right there in the shopping center with Best Buy and all that stuff just as you turn in. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Colts. NFL pregame is presented by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase William, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Streaming on the Game Nashville app, 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, live at Centennial Sportsplex. Is it? It's gotten chilly.
Yeah,
chilly.
I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, a little chilly. Well, here's the problem. I walked to the restroom.
Uh-huh.
It's very warm in there.
You want to stay in there.
So when you walk back out,
you really feel it. Yeah.
So that
I have to step outside. Get some of that warmth.
See, I haven't done that yet because I feel like that just makes it worse. So you know, I've just
any little warmth I can get, Chase, I'm taking it.
Just been powering through. So what are some things we need to see this weekend? We're going to hear from Mike Vrabel here in just a second. But what are some things we need to see this weekend to make us feel better about the direction that the Titans are going? Because I feel like even coming off a win this week, we've been talking about things that still concern us.
Yeah.
So is there anything, Derek, that you could see this weekend that makes you go, okay, now it's starting to click?
They need to figure out how to generate offense in the second half. Obvious. That's the big elephant in the room. You know, they look totally different from what they do in the second first half. That's been in all their games. Even a blowout against Buffalo, they look like a different team in the second half than they did in the first half. So they got to find a way to come out and, you know, get that consistency going. I don't know what needs to be said after halftime, but I'm sure the players, it has been brought to the players' attention that their first half is not like their second half. Their second half, they've had a lot of woes, a lot of miscommunications, a lot of missed opportunities. So that's what I want to see. I want to see, you know, whether they're up or down, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I want to see how they come out in the second half and execute their offense, because defensively, they hadn't been bad in the second half. Throw the Buffalo game out. The second half, they haven't been as bad. I think their offense has been worse than their defense in the second half, and they got to find a way to change that. So if they can get that changed, then we can start being a little bit more optimistic about the Titans moving forward.
Let's hear a little bit of Titans head coach Mike Vrabel when he met with the media earlier today.
Mike, you had the strong start on Sunday in the first half. Now what's the challenge of trying to get that to carry through halftime and play that well or close to that well in the second half?
Well, it's always a challenge, but it's something obviously that we have to continue to look at in all three phases. Just making sure that, you know, we're prepared this week. It'll be critical. Against the Colts, we've been up. We've been behind these games. Both teams are going to battle. So it's going to be a challenge throughout. We'll have to, make sure that whatever we're doing early, if it's positive, we'll have to continue it. And then if not, make sure that we're battling to get back in the game like we did last year. And, if we do get up, it's going to be a struggle to be able to close anybody out.
What would you say are some of the keys to you guys being able to get the rushing attack going?
Well, it's no different than what it is. It takes 11 guys. It takes us, playing with fundamentals, playing with pad level, playing with, good, great technique, breaking some tackles, everybody getting to the support players and making sure we're working to the right guys.
As you watch the film, do you feel like you're getting closer to one of those long runs by Derrick Henry?
Well, I think some of that is just going to be you don't draw them up thinking that they're going to be 75 yarders. We've had some, we had some runs that were really close. We've had some really good efficient runs that had one that got us down to the 1 yard line. We broke through. We've gotten on the safety a couple times. So confident that if we can continue to do some things that we were doing, the other day, that'll be a challenge. This is a great defense, fast. They run the football. It hasn't been easy to run the football on them. So, we'll have to be great this week.
You mentioned how good of a defense it is. Colts coming in with third best rush defense. You mentioned they're fast up front. What are some of the challenges they bring?
Well, they're athletic. They have a very consistent scheme. I think that they don't really. It's not like they're trying to trick you. They play a bunch of guys up front. Buckner and Stewart are the leaders in there. That they can move. They can stay in their gap. They can, play with their hands. They do a lot of different things. The edge guys are active and fast and in a tough matchup. And then, just really inside, the linebackers are fast. They tackle. It's gonna be critical that we try to get on them. If you don't put a hat on them, they'll be there and most likely trying to hammer the football out.
What makes Taylor kind of you? You face a lot of good running back. What makes Taylor unique?
Well, speed, breakaway speed, toughness. But also patience to dip in and kind of burst out. We're all at the point of attack. We're going to have a great wall. Can't give him a whole lot of seams. And, tackling him one-on-one is not where you want to be all afternoon.
Is he as close a challenge as there is to, Derrick Henry right now? You get a sense of what other teams deal with against you this
week?
Well,
I don't really like to get into comparisons. They're a different type of back. They have a obviously different running style, but that's the challenge this week is what they'll try to do and how they've used him in the different schemes, whether it's under center in the gun, inside zone, outside zone, you know, gap scheme. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that they present.
What's your advice kind of when your DBs are going up against a guy like Pittman and those jump balls are coming their way? What's the kind of the best strategy there?
Well, I think you have to stay patient. You know, first is that you stay patient and not start, you know, grabbing, you know, I mean, trying to make sure that you're in phase and then also challenge and play, try to play the football and go up through the pocket.
How much has Danico's ability to slide out to the edge helped you to offset some of the depth issues you've had with injuries at outside linebacker?
Well, his versatility and really just his attitude and presence here since he's been with us has been outstanding. It's, you know, a player that we've always had a lot of respect for. Love coaching him, love watching him compete and help him. You know, he's factored for us and he can, you know, move inside, you know, do a nice job on the edge. So, you know, that's a great skill set to be able to do both of it for us.
What's your assessment of where Ryan is with this group of receivers at this point?
You know, I mean, we've had some favorable plays. We've had some, you know, passes that we'd like to have back. You know, we'll keep, you know, keep improving and trying to get better. But I think that it's, you know, there were some really nice things that we did the other day. You know, unfortunately, we threw the interception, but you know, there were some X plays in there. There were some times where we had to, you know, pick up some big third down conversions, and so. You know, we're just looking for consistency. We're looking for great, you know, quarterback play and making sure that, you know, Ryan's executing our offense and the guys are helping him out and being where they need to be.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel talking to the media earlier today about things to expect this weekend. You know, I thought his quote on the defense, well, they're not going to surprise you. You know, you know what they're going to throw at you. And it's the truth. I mean, that's honestly – something that I know they're talking a lot about.
It's one of those defenses we've been talking about that play the trend in the NFL now. Not a lot of blitzes.
Uh-huh.
Feel good about their front four. They can do it on their own. Get
a
the
la
heat.
Buffalo.
Absolutely a la Buffalo. Now, not as good, but pretty good. Maybe not as, you know, there's some secondary guys that I think you can go to work on there, but they're going to make you drive the field. They're going to make it tough. And they have shown a pretty good ability to slow down Derrick Henry, even in the last couple years when Derrick Henry has been the king, right? And right now they're still trying to get that running game going. You could hear Mike Vrabel took more note time to try to talk through the running game. He knows that they've got to get that running game going.
Yeah.
It hasn't been there. Statistics, you can look at whatever you want. It's still, you know, you're looking for cause for optimism, but it's still not where it needs to be.
I mean, you with you know, the run game, there's only so much you can do because you don't want to try to scheme, you know, your offensive lineman out of blocks. You know, you don't want to try to, you know, this elaborate scheme that we have. And okay, no, you get, like he said, get a hat on a hat and move guys. You know, there may be an extra, there may be a free guy, but that free guy is Derrick Henry's man. You know, Derrick Henry has to make him miss or run through him or run over him. So you got to keep it simple. And I think that's what happened this past game. They kept it simple for that offensive line. And what did we see? We saw a big difference from the first game, meaning from the second game to the third game.
Right.
Why? Because I think Downing and that coaching staff, they simplified things for the offensive line. I expect to see that again, especially from an Indianapolis team that is not trying to trick you. They're coming downhill. They expect their, you know, front four or front seven to get to the quarterback and to be able to stop the run. If that is indeed the case, they're not bringing extra men. Let's just get a hat on a hat, keep it simple, and push your guy out of the way. Control the line of scrimmage.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Adam Amin. He's going to be on the call for Fox Sports this week as the Titans take on the Colts. We'll do that next. But first, Willie, tell us about Loan Pronto.
Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. Look, with your home's value up again, you're sitting on a pile of money. We've talked about it. So if you need it, don't let it just sit there. Use it to your advantage. And Loan Pronto can help you do that. That's what we did. We were looking for ways to pay our college tuition for our daughter, and we set up a HELOC through Loan Pronto. It was outstanding. I just called my friends at Loan Pronto, Roger Moore. He talked through the process with me. That's what we went through. And then we started what I've been telling you about for a long time through Law and Pride. I found out for myself that it's a really good all-digital process. There's not a lot of paperwork. There's not a lot of things. They cut through all that stuff. It's all digital, and the process can be over a lot quicker than it used to be. And we've done some refis before and HELOCs. This was a lot easier. So Loan Pronto can help you do that. They make unlocking your equity easy. And they can probably even waive the appraisal. So call Loan Pronto now. Talk strategies with them. Maybe the refi is the way you want to go. But give them a call at 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. Or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval.